News Team coverage. 94.9 WSJM News Now.
Brought to you by Comfort Keepers of Southwest Michigan. Serving Berrien, Cass, and Van Buren counties. Compatible, compassionate, comfortable care at home. In the newsroom, I'm Andrew Green. Governor Gretchen Whitmer hopes to improve jail and pretrial systems throughout Michigan by signing an executive order to create a 21-member bipartisan Michigan task force on jail and pretrial incarceration. Here's State House Speaker Lee Chatfield.
Early in the House of Representatives this year, I stood with Attorney General Dana Nessel in showing that we can work together on real reforms. We need to ensure across the state of Michigan that we are not over-criminalizing our citizens, and people have real opportunities as they're seeking to re-enter our society.
Chatfield says the task force will look at how to expand alternatives to jail while safely reducing jail admissions and the length of stay. The Pew Charitable Trust is offering its technical assistance to gather and analyze data related to Michigan's jail populations. A 31-year-old Berrien Springs man is dead as a result of a crash between his motorcycle and a delivery truck in Baroda today. The crash happened at the intersection of Stevensville Baroda Road and Linco Road just a few minutes before 6 a.m. Baroda Lake Township police say the driver of the truck was a 27-year-old from North Liberty, Indiana, and he was not hurt. He told police he had stopped at a stop sign, then continued west onto Linco Road, but never saw the motorcycle before it was too late. The bike did not have a stop sign at the intersection. None of the names have been released. New numbers regarding the measles outbreak in Michigan have been released, and this time there are a couple of Grand Rapids locations listed as possible exposure sites. Michigan Department of Health and Human Services spokesperson Lynn Sutphin tells us a person infected with the measles traveled to the area and was at the Baymont by Wyndham Grand Rapids Airport Hotel early the morning of April 12th. That person then went to the Urgent Care Med Express office in Plainfield Avenue later that night.
We want folks to be aware of that, because if you were there and you aren't vaccinated, you definitely want to get a hold of your health care provider about that.
There have not been any measles cases identified in Grand Rapids, just the possible exposure. Sutphin says the measles has a two-hour hang time in the air.
It is an airborne virus. So if somebody coughs or they sneeze or they breathe out, it's going to be in the air for 2 hours.
Sutphin says in all there have been 42 cases of measles in Michigan this year, most of them in Oakland County. She says there's been a couple in Wayne County, and there was one in Washtenaw County, although that person was an international traveler who has since gone back to Germany. If you have any doubts about whether you have been vaccinated, you're advised to contact your doctor. The deadline is 4 p.m. next Tuesday. For anyone interested in running for the St. Joseph City Commission this year to file paperwork, there are three incumbents, Jeff Richards, Laura Goose, and Lynn Todman, who are up for re-election, and so far two of the challengers have announced they're in. The latest is Spectrum Lakeland's Deputy Security Chief, Al DeBrito.
It's a great city. My family has done so well here. We've thrived. There's so many opportunities. It's a great place to raise a family, and it's part of my nature to give back.
DeBrito has a lengthy law enforcement career, including 24 years with the FBI, followed by 2 years as the Deputy Public Safety Director in St. Joe prior to his firing by the former city manager. He tells us the lack of transparency in city government at the time is why he's running for the commission.
There was just a huge issue with the former director there of public safety that I don't think people realize how bad it was. Those are things that the public should be aware of, what is happening in city government.
DeBrito says he's put that in the past, and he's reached a settlement with the city in 2017. The other announced candidate is Susan Solon, the city's former communications director. Congressman Fred Upton is pleased the Mueller report on the investigation into Russia interference in the 2016 presidential election will be released tomorrow. Upton tells us he's not in Washington right now, but he looks forward to the information going public.
I voted with 419 other House members several weeks ago to make the Mueller report available to the public. My sense is that much of this report will be made public. I understand that there'll be some redactions because of law on protecting the privacy of some folks relating to a grand jury investigation, maybe some of the techniques that are used.
Upton says he's anxious to read the roughly 400-page report, adding he understands there will be reasons given for each redaction. Guilty is the plea from Mike Stamp of Decatur to a pair of fraud charges in federal court connected to Stamp Farms. Stamp and his wife, Melissa, ran the farm, and both have reached plea deals with the U.S. Department of Justice. Mike Stamp admitted today to taking out a fraudulent $68 million operating loan from Wells Fargo Bank in December of 2011, secured by lying about farm asset values and the acreage that he actually farmed. Stamp's guilty plea also included an admission to a charge of conspiracy to commit crop insurance fraud by falsifying crop records, putting crop insurance in the names of other people, and filing false claims. There's no word yet from the U.S. Attorney's Office, though, on a sentencing date or how long Stamp faces in prison. The Michigan House this week approved legislation designed to combat a shortage of psychiatric workers around the state. State Representative Pauline Wenzel tells us she has spoken with staff of the Berrien County Health Department who have told her it is difficult to get enough psych workers who can help those in a crisis.
It would allow psych workers that have retired to be able to come back, but also retain their pension. So this includes psychologists, physicians, nurses, social workers, counselors, therapists, so that will help address that shortage.
The state already allows retired psychiatrists to continue to keep their pensions during reemployment with the state. This latest piece of legislation will extend the opportunity to those other professions. The plan now goes on to the state Senate. And the former Whirlpool Corporation office building at 150 Hilltop Road in St. Joe is changing hands. United Federal Credit Union is purchasing the roughly 80,000 square foot facility and will turn it into its new headquarters. The sales price has not been disclosed. Renovations are expected to start in June or July and take about a year once the sale's been finished. The credit union has no plans to shut down either the Niles corporate office, which opened in March of 2015, or the current corporate building on South State Street in St. Joe. It was also remodeled about 4 years ago. Whirlpool and the credit union worked with Cornerstone Alliance to get a special commercial rehabilitation district established for the property through the City of St. Joe and the Berrien County Board of Commissioners. WSJM News Now continues with your Hilliard Lyons report.
This is Al McKee with Hilliard Lyons, bringing stocks of local interest. American Electric Power, 83.21, up 0.16. Apple, 203.13, up 3.88. J.P. Morgan, 114.29, up 3.19. Chemical Bank, 44.75, up 0.74. Cisco Systems, 56.31, down 0.64. General Electric, 9.12, down 0.02. IBM, 139.08, down 6.06, after announcing first quarter earnings. Microsoft, 121.77, up 1. Fifth Third Bancorp, 27.71, down 0.02. Whirlpool, 64.86, up 2.35. XPO Logistics, 64.86, up 2.35. Facebook, 178.78, down 0.09. Stocks ended slightly lower Wednesday, pulled down by the healthcare sector for the second day in a row. The Dow Industrials lost 3 points to 26,449. The NASDAQ gave back 4 points to 7,996, and the S&P 500 was down 6 points to 2,900. This is Al McKee with Hilliard Lyons, where we take a team approach to your investment needs at 2900 South State Street in St. Joseph.
WSJM News Now continues. An 18-year-old Florida woman, infatuated with the Columbine High School shooting, is dead after causing schools around Denver to close today. ABC's Alex Stone is in Denver.
The worry was that Sol Pais was going to try to carry out a mass shooting at Columbine High School or on some other Denver area campus. She traveled from Florida to Colorado on Monday and immediately bought a shotgun. Jefferson County Sheriff Jeff Schrader.
The reports that have been in briefings have indicated that she had made statements to friends, family, and some online type postings or communications.
Federal agents tracked her to an area at the base of Mount Evans, west of Denver, where she was found dead. She apparently shot herself. Alex Stone, ABC News, Denver.
Colorado Governor Jared Polis says he and all the state's parents are, quote, hugging their children a little tighter after a young Florida woman obsessed with the Columbine attack was found dead. The governor says the potential threat is over after officials said today the 18-year-old died of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. Meanwhile, ABC's Pete Combs reports a lot of questions remain in the case.
18-year-old Sol Pais was different. Sol was a female.
The majority of mass shooters that have conducted attacks over the last several years have been men.
That's ABC News national security contributor John Cohen. He tells me Pais appears to have had many of the traits found in people with the potential to commit horrific acts of violence. For instance, prolific internet postings.
The Secret Service and the FBI refer to that as leakage.
It was that leakage that put investigators on Pais's trail, a sad success story in efforts to stop mass shootings before the gunfire starts. Pete Combs, ABC News.
The Paris Prosecutor's Office says the investigation into the Notre Dame Cathedral fire has not produced any indication so far of a criminal act. The probe is still in its early stages. The office said investigators have been able to access some parts of the building to start their on-site work. Meanwhile, about 10 more people have been questioned by police, bringing the total to 40. Meanwhile, a pause in Paris and elsewhere in France to remember the Notre Dame fire this week. ABC's Tom Rivers reports from the streets of Paris.
Reflecting back on the events of 48 hours ago, people kind of stopped and had a moment of pause as the bells rang out here in Paris and elsewhere throughout France, reflecting the horrific fire that engulfed Notre Dame on Monday evening. Time to look back on the tragic event, but also to look forward to the fact that, yes, it's going to take time. Down the road, it will come back in a different shape, but it will be coming back.
A new poll finds Americans are slightly more likely to say they want Congress to keep investigating President Donald Trump's ties with Russia than to set aside its own probes after the special counsel's report. The Associated Press poll follows Attorney General William Barr's March release of a four-page letter and comes just before the release of a redacted version of the report. The poll shows greater GOP confidence in the investigation since a month ago. The Trump administration announcing several new sanctions against Cuba and Venezuela today. The president's national security team announcing them in Miami on the anniversary of the Bay of Pigs invasion. ABC's Andy Field has details from Washington.
National Security Advisor John Bolton saying the Trump administration is putting a financial stranglehold on Cuba, including restricting non-family travel there.
We'll help steer American dollars away from the Cuban regime or its military and security services.
John Bolton saying the U.S. will only lift sanctions when Cuba stops supporting the Maduro regime in Venezuela and gives its own people freedom. Andy Field, ABC News.
And it is an experiment that blurs the line between life and death. ABC's Mark Remillard explains.
In a study published Wednesday, scientists say they pumped a specially designed blood substitute into the brains of pigs that had been dead for hours and found that some cells maintained key details of their structure and that after stimulating some of the neurons with electricity, the cells responded in a way that indicated viability. Researchers say there was no large-scale electrical activity to indicate consciousness or awareness, but it raises a host of ethical questions and even begs the question, how do we define death? Mark Remillard, ABC News.
WSJM News Now continues with your weather forecast brought to you by ArtFX in Bridgman. Eye-catching vehicle wraps, custom signs, logos, and apparel. ArtFXSign.com. They're more than just a sign shop.